Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please turn with me to the law of God, which we read from Exodus 20. In these 10 words, we have all of our life addressed. There's not a part of our life that is exempt from standing before the law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I think it's important to remember what David said in Psalm 51, how when he had sinned against Bathsheba and against Uriah, really he confessed, against thee, the only, have I sinned. So not only do we sin many times against others, but especially before the Lord, and we pray to him for his cleansing mercy. Please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning, Psalm 37. We consider the first 7 verses from this dear Psalm 37. The superscription is a Psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. What a beautiful psalm this is. May the Lord bless it to us all. Just one announcement, I would point to the service this Thursday, the Lord willing, followed by a congregational meeting, and you will be receiving copies of the budget after the service, and we encourage you to look those over, bring any questions you may have with you to the meeting. Everybody's welcome, and voting will be for the male members who are there present. Let's pray together. God in heaven, before whom perfect worship is rendered around the throne by the angels and the glorified saints, and we thank you that we may gather also before thy face. And though our worship is far from perfect, we come with sin in our hearts. with bloody hands, as it were, with wicked thoughts. Yet we pray, in the blood of Christ, thou wilt wash us and cleanse us, and even present our worship, Lord Jesus, as faultless and blameless. Give us this day and this service closeness with thee, that we wouldn't feel distant, that we wouldn't feel estranged, that we deserve to be cast out forever. But grant that we would feel thy embrace, thy great love, wherewith thou hast loved thy people, to again make known to us the gracious provision of salvation in Christ. Oh, that it would be again believed on by us here, that it would be that which makes our life worth living, to be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness, but that which is by faith in Him. And Lord, we pray for holy affections this morning, that we would desire none save Christ, that we would seek after the knowledge of Him, whom to know is eternal life. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for that great prayer Thou hast prayed, wherein Thou hast said, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Lord, Thou hast displayed Thy great love in dying for Thy people. Oh, then that we would love Thee, because Thou hast first loved us. Especially give us who are here that fulfillment of delighting ourselves in the Lord and receiving the full embrace, the full pleasure of that delight in having Thee. We ask as well for blessed fellowship in the Lord this day, that we would eat of that bread of life and be satisfied together, that we would find the light of the world shining into our dark lives, all of us together, and that we would walk together in the light. Good Shepherd of Thy chosen race, lead us together as dear sheep of Thine. Grant that through the difficulties we have, that we would walk together. Through the joys, also, that we would share them together. Resurrection and the life, speak powerfully into our deadness, that where we are as a cut down shrub, hopeless in the eyes of many, that Thou wilt give even the barren to rejoice, even the dead to spring forth with life. Glorious true vine, be our life. Grant us to abide and to be fruitful together, that in our lives we would be zealous unto good works. Forgive our sins, O Lord. We must say, against Thee, Thee only have we sinned, but also that our sins have impacted others, and even each other. Oh, if we only knew how awful our sins are, and that Thou, Lord, would deliver us from them. Help us to see that the wages of sin is death, and that is what we deserve, but also that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, that there is life for the people of God. And for those who minimize sin, for those who discount the law's power against them, who try to point fingers to other people, or who try to ignore it by just living on We ask thee to penetrate them by the Spirit of God, to see the urgency of their need, and to see the freeness of your provision of salvation. Oh, the great call of the prophet Isaiah to come, to buy wine and milk without money, without price, that we would be comers, empty-handed, as sinners, as beggars, and find in thee provision more abundantly. Please be with the congregation. Merciful Father, we can rejoice with those who rejoice. For any number of reasons that thou hast led us in this past week, providing beyond what we could ask or think for our physical lives, for our spiritual lives, we can rejoice when temptation was resisted, when the effects of sin were fought against, and perhaps arguments not had, or actions that would have been disruptive and displeasing were prevented from being carried out. Lord, we thank thee for the progress and sanctification for each other. We pray for more of it. Help us in our dealings together as families. Give patience among parents. Give love and obedience for children. Give faithfulness to thee for all of us. Lord, we can also rejoice for those who have done well in school, who have wonderfully accomplished their talents and abilities, who have applied themselves and been richly rewarded. Please, Lord, lead them and guide them, especially those who are transitioning to a new part of their schooling. Make thy way clear and bless us. And we ask for those who continue in school to finish off the school year well, to endure. Lord, we also pray for those carrying needs. Perhaps there are physical needs that we continue to have. We pray for us as we can grow so weary. Oh God, be our helper, the one who cares for us, even for our body. And grant us our minds, our thinking, to not be despondent and despairing and depressed. That when the darkness looms over us, that thou would be a light unto us, shining into our minds the light of truth, that there isn't anything that can happen that can separate any of thy people from the love of God, which is in Christ. And for those with uncertainty lying ahead of them, perhaps experiencing failures, failing health, God in heaven, please be near them. Lead them by the hand. Carry them forward, that they would look unto thee, that they would not fret themselves, but that they would trust in the Lord and do good. They would delight themselves in the Lord, that they would commit their ways unto the Lord and trust in Him. That they would rest in the Lord. Give this portion to them to be a lasting portion. We pray, O God, to bless the services this day. Give us a true day of rest, not just physically, but meditating on thy word. Be with us this week with the Bible study, with the Ascension Day service and the meeting following. Please guide all the matters, that it would be a time of true admiration of what thou hast done and what thou art doing. Please be with those who are away. Thank you for the holiday weekend and for the start to summer, and we ask you to keep us safe. Give us many enjoyments but also many sweet reflections on the brightness of thy face. Bless the preached word. Lord, it comes as a still small voice. It comes through an imperfect, sinful messenger. But oh, that it would be used for our life and heart's good. We pray these things in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Beloved congregation, it's easy to worry. Worry comes very naturally to us. It comes because we aren't ultimate. We're not in control. There's a lot of things that we don't know how they will turn out. You can think of your health. You can think of your job. You can think of your family. You can think of the church. And quite honestly, we have very little control. We like to think that we have more than we actually do. Or we can imagine the obstacles, the enmity, the trouble, and how large and how great it is. And who are we compared to the mountains of difficulty we face? And we can worry. What if this? What if that? So many unknowns, so many things that we know that are much greater than we are. We can fret and be anxious. And then too, we can think, does the Lord really know us? Who am I? What is my life in the grand scheme of things? Yes, the rise and fall of governments, yes, the affairs of nations, those are things the Lord can control and does control. Those are great things, but my little life, does He really think upon me? Does He really know my fears? Does He really know my struggle? We can catch ourselves thinking, God is concerned with the banner, the headline news. But I'm just a footnote somewhere in the book of history. What importance is there for me? Well, Psalm 37 speaks of the reality that God does know His people. And this is an intimate knowledge of them, of their needs, but also and especially of His provision for them. And of the glorious future that He has stored up for His own people. And that's also a help for us in our needs, in our circumstances, with our ups and our downs, with our cares and our concerns, to understand that God has a good future for all of His people. We must not let our cloudy, difficult, trying days here cloud that glorious, good future God has for His people. So Psalm 37 is really a revisiting of many of the themes throughout the Psalms, especially of that difference between the wicked and the righteous. How for the righteous there is hope and life and blessing. For the wicked, there is punishment. Themes that we see in Psalm 1 and in Psalm 2. And it's my prayer this morning that these early verses of Psalm 37 encourage you. If you're struggling, if you're facing uncertainty, that they would be like a light shining on your life. That because of our uncertainty, we need not fret, but we can rest in God's sovereign goodness. And if you're in a place of tremendous confidence, that these verses would renew and strengthen that confidence to further let your feet be on the solid rock of faith in the Lord. And if you're not a believer, if you're living your life on your own, that these verses would show that your future of self-reliance isn't promising. It's foreboding. It's the epitome of danger. And yet, this morning, God would call you to trust in Him, to find rest in Him alone. Our theme is living toward God's good future. Covenant challenges of the past, covenant commitment now, and covenant climax later. Covenant challenges of the past. The future always needs to take into account, especially as we live towards the future, the past. And we see in verses 1 and 2 of the challenges that David himself had to endure in the past. He endured those he would call evildoers, and those he would call workers of iniquity. And all of this was a challenge to God's purpose and His plan to work through David and his line. We think of the various people who would rise up against David to challenge God's covenant to David. To think of Saul himself forcing David to flee, not letting David have much, if any, rest for his weariness. What a difficulty. What a lack of rest. But then, Absalom. Then, the very own flesh and blood to rise up and to contest his very father. Evildoers, workers of iniquity, those who would set themselves against God and against the ways of God. What a challenge. Not just their reality, not just the fact that they exist, but their supposed power, how they appear to be so successful in their evil and sinister purpose. Evildoers, workers of iniquity. Many ways we could say those of the seed of Satan who stand against the plan of God who oppose the righteous kingdom. It's a challenge. Just like we sang from Psalm 73, David, Asaph, wondering, why are the wicked prospering? Why does it seem like the ungodly are increasing while the godly are decreasing? Is that the way it also looks in your life? That being faithful to the Lord is challenged by what appears to be the life and the success and the blessings that the ungodly are enjoying. Asaph could say, I cleanse my hands in vain. What good is it? David could say, look at the evildoers, look at the workers of iniquity. They seem to be on the rise. I'm on the run. Perhaps you're tempted. What good is it to really serve the Lord? All it gets me is trouble. All it keeps me from is fun. It's a challenge. A very strong challenge. And this can lead to fretting. Or being envious. Fretting has the idea of being anxious, being inwardly troubled. What are some things that we can fret about? What we can fret about, friends? People whom we care about, will they still like us? Will they still be there for us? We can fret about work. How will God provide in my search for employment or in the troubling and difficult economy? We can fret about spiritual matters. Is it really true for me? Am I really God's child? Will He really provide for me through this next struggle? So this is the temptation to fret, to be envious, to long, to look with great desire. If only I could be like them. They seem to be rising in influence. They seem to be happy. They seem to be provided. They don't have any cares. I want to be like them. Challenge from what it looks like now. Prosperity, success, joy. It seems like those who don't have God have. And then we can think, what don't we have? If we're believers. Not only does it look like they have so much, but it seems like believers have so little. Why do we have to struggle with sin and confess sin so much? Why do we have to walk faithfully before God? Why? Why do we have all these restrictions? And it can lead to fretting. And it can lead to being envious. If only I could be like them. They're so free. They're so carefree. They're so happy. At least that's the way things appear. It's a challenge. Is the covenant life to God worth it? Is it really worth anything? Must you say with Asaph in Psalm 73, I cleanse my hands in vain. What good really is it? live bound to God and His Word. I experience trouble. I experience falling into temptation. It's a challenge that really penetrates right to our heart. Your allegiance to God isn't worth it. What has it got in you? And look at the lives of those who aren't living faithfully to God. They're enjoying it. You have trouble. Well, verse 2 gives an answer. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Yes, the past, it seems like the ungodly, the unrighteous, the evildoers, the workers of iniquity seem to be growing up fast. They're succeeding. They're accomplishing. Soon. We're not told when, but we're told it will be soon. They will be cut down and wither. The end of the ungodly, the end of the wicked, the outcome that they have will be judgment. They may grow fast. They may look appealing now. But the long-term forecast is of being cut down and withering. It won't endure. And we see this throughout the psalm. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy. But then 15 follows, the sword shall enter into their own hearts, and their bow shall be broken. You see, the appearance is one thing, but the reality is the truth. And that is that the wicked, that those who will oppose the righteous, have their days numbered. So this is the challenge. Is it worth serving God? All I get is trouble. And it seems like all the wicked and all the evildoers get is increase. Well, our first point tells us, don't look at a small window of time to make your decision. If we look at just a small window of the present or the past, it may appear that they have the better portion, but it's not true. We need to take the whole picture to account. For soon, they shall be cut off. Even if we know not when, we know that it will happen because the Lord has spoken. So living toward God's good future, first of all, must put into perspective that challenges and challengers to God's covenant and to His faithfulness will not last. They will be undone. But secondly, covenant commitment now. Facing the past must remind us that the Lord even governs them. And though they spring up, they are being elevated, they are being fattened for the slaughter, to be cut down, to be mown as the grass. But we have four duties, four commands that really call us to commitment now. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, delight in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the morn. This is the call to be the Lord's people, to be faithful and consecrated possessions of the Lord. First, the command is to trust in the Lord and to do good. We read of this same word in Psalm 25, verse 2, O my God, I trust in Thee. Or Psalm 31, verse 6, but I trust in the Lord. And the idea here in this commitment is to hide oneself for refuge. I am going to the Lord to find safety and protection. It's like the parent of the child. Yesterday we were at Bruce's mill conservation area, and Seth was being a little tentative and be unsure. He'd run up and then he'd run back and grab hold of the hand of the parent to be safe, to be secure, to trust in the Lord is to flee back to the protection the Lord is for His people. Then to delight oneself in the Lord. We have in verse 11 that same word, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Job 22, 25 and 26, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver, for then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. The idea in the word to delight is the idea of luxury. You have something that's very valuable. Maybe this soft linen, this very rare fabric. You can feel it against your cheek. You can feel it in your hands, how soft and pliable, how beautiful it is. Delight. Feels so good to rest on a pillow made with such intricately woven fabric, such soft delight in the Lord. Let Him be your prized possession, your luxury. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Here you get the idea of commitment, of loyalty. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It's this very simple word of making or doing. So commit your ordinary lives, your mundane actions to the Lord. Let Him guide what you do or what you make. Then there's rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And the word for rest is really to be quiet. To not speak. You can well imagine somebody in danger. What's the first thing they want to do? They want to yell, scream, help, and make no sort of attention for themselves. It's urgent. It's desperate. They need to draw attention. This idea is to just be quiet. Be still to rest. So this commitment is for the present tense now. Trust. Delight.
that we ultimately want to do these things for ourselves.
We want to trust our own planning, our own thinking.
But it says trust in the Lord.
We want to delight and to find our luxury, our meaning, our significance in something we can make.
It says, delight thyself in the Lord. Commit.
Commit to find the way out yourself?
No, commit thy way unto the Lord.
Rest. Rest after having been successfully able to bring yourself through?
No. Rest in the Lord who calls us to rest in Him. So what we have is we have this covenant commitment. Covenant commitment now. And let me just say two things by way of application. The first is that each of these words doesn't begin with itself, but it begins with the character of God Himself.
Who is the Lord? He is trustworthy. He draws us out so that we can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. We can cast ourselves upon Him. Who is the Lord? But He is the exquisite, the delightful, the beautiful Lord, worthy to be delighted in. Who is the Lord but the one whose ways are perfect and peaceful? He doesn't have it out against His people. He's not plotting their destruction, but He's planning for their well-being and for their blessing.
Who is the Lord but the one who gives rest? He rested on the seventh day. He lets His people rest in Him.
This commitment doesn't begin with you or with me. This commitment begins with God Himself. He is committed to His people.
Do you take comfort in that? That nothing you will face will somehow find God unprepared or uncommitted to bring you through. That's what the devil wants us to believe.
God's forgotten about you. God can't help you. God doesn't know that you're going through this. God can't supply rest for you.
False. They're all lies. The character of God is that He is committed, absolutely committed to His people. That's good news. That's why the name Lord is used to show that covenant commitment of God to His people. He is faithful. But then the other application is that God calls you and me to be committed entirely to Him. That's why He says, He adds certain things. Trust in the Lord and do good.
Don't just say it in words, but show it in actions that you are trusting, that your faith has feet and hands and life. Delight thyself also
in the Lord. Don't just let it be some mental, oh, I delight in the Lord, I must delight in the Lord, but let it be in your very life, in your very heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So this commitment needs to be unreserved, comprehensive, that our lives are the Lord's. And that with our lives being the Lord's possession, we can know for sure they may not be easy, but they will be blessed. So the Lord is covenantally faithful. He's committed to each one of His people. And don't let, when hardships come, those hardships challenge God's covenant faithfulness. We may be tempted to think, God must not care about me. Why do I still have to have another affliction? God cares. God knows. God even grants these afflictions because He cares so greatly. But you say, how can I know? How can I really know He's committed? Well, the way you can know is because He calls you to be committed to Him. Delight, trust, commit, rest. He calls you to do what is best, not to rely on yourself, but to entrust yourself to Him. Will you, will I, will we do this? Committed to the Lord, trusting, delighting, resting. So the wicked soon will wither and be cut down. But the promise comes to God's people of the climax. Climax. Each of these verses where the commitment begins the verse shows the consummation, the greatness that will follow. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The climax of having a life of security, a life of satisfaction, a life of contentedness. That there would be no longing, no adversary, no longing unfulfilled, no adversary to disrupt. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, not that He shall give thee whatever you want. The verse that often makes it onto graduation cards or cards seeking well-being for the next stage in a person's life. But if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, He's going to give you that desire of enjoying His presence, of enjoying Him. That's the climax, is to know God and to be with God and to enjoy God's fellowship. with that delight. He will give you that desire, that intimacy.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass.
That where you entrust the Lord's doings, depending entirely on Him, He won't fail. His purpose will be obtained. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way. You don't need to be anxious and worried, to fret, be all stirred up. But to rest. So this is the climax. And when does this climax come? But we're not given a timetable. But we are given certainty that it will come. Just like the wicked will be cut down, will wither as the green herb. So, God's people will be fed. So God's people will receive that which they long for, communion. So God's people will be led and will have their righteousness brought forth, shining as the light. When? Well, by God's grace, in the coming of Christ, there is a climax. There is the reality of the bread of life feeding His people with Himself and never leaving them hungry. There is, with the coming of Christ, the granting of desires. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, the Lord could say. You have desired it, now you may have it. With the coming of Christ, there is that salvation accomplished. The great deed, the great work, the great doing. Commit. You entrust yourself to Him. He will bear you up. That's what He did on the cross. Saving His people. Delivering His own. Rest in the Lord. Christ could say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is an initial experience of the climax as when a person comes to faith in Christ. That God's future is now. Enjoy in part, but truly and really enjoyed in Christ. But of course, the ultimate and final enjoyment, the climax of the climax, if we could say, is the eternal rest. Thou shalt dwell in the land, the promised land, the land The desires of thine heart will be fully and eternally satisfied in the heavenly Canaan,
where there will be perfect delight in the Lord. The way of the Lord would be shown to be most perfect. He will bring it to pass. It will be realized and accomplished. And what will that day be but eternal rest? The wicked will be cut off. Evildoers will not inherit the earth, but those who wait upon the Lord, they will. So living toward God's good future, that's the way that one of my former professors would call the Christian hope, the Christian life, God's good future. And beloved, what is that for you? Are you tried and challenged here? Oh, that would lift up your hearts to long for the experience of Christ, to long for the enjoyment of the future God would give you. Are you perhaps struggling along, not sure where you're going, not sure if this good future is for you or not? Well, you are called to trust, to delight, to commit, to rest in the Lord. There's no good future outside of the Lord, outside of Christ. In Him is clarity. In Him is the direction and the enjoyment of this good future. And if you're not, you must say before the Lord, I don't trust in the Lord. I don't delight in the Lord. I haven't committed my way to the Lord. I don't rest in the Lord. What future is there for you? Will you be the architect, the maker of your own future? It's not a good future, because we are not meant and not able to give a good future ourselves. God says, here it is. You may have it. By grace, cry unto Him, Lord, give me to be a participant in that good future. Enjoy now and always. Amen. Lord, we ask Thee to let these words resound in our hearts this day, to rest in the Lord, to commit our ways to the Lord, to delight ourselves in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, knowing that we can only do these because Thou hast done them first, Lord Jesus. We thank You for Thy great work of salvation. We pray that it would be ours. Please encourage people here. They wouldn't worry, they wouldn't fret. That they would live by faith into Thy good future, which Thou didst lovingly and graciously grant to us. Please keep us from Satan's snares, and when he would have us to think it's all in vain, it's all worthless, that Thou would show that it's not in vain in the Lord, that it's real and substantial and true. Be with Thy people. Be with the afflicted ones here. Lift up their hearts. Lift up their eyes. To behold with wonder the grace and love Thou dost show, even such ones as they are.
in Jesus' holy name.